This oral history is brought to you with the support of Guttman students and staff and funded by the American Council of Learned Societies and the Mellon Foundation. Enjoy.
Hi, my name is Yolanta Sunday, and I'm interviewing my dad, Simon Sunday, in North Salem on April 14th, 2021. Do you give me permission to record and distribute this oral history?
Sure.
So can you tell me some basic information that you're willing to share?
Sure. Okay, so my age, I'm 39. My occupation is I am a UX designer / web developer. You want to know my neighborhood?
Yeah, where do you live currently?
Well, right now in North Salem. It's in Westchester, in Westchester, New York. Place of origin, I'm from Poland. First language, Polish. A racial identity, white. Gender identity, male. Sexual orientation, straight.
So can you tell me the long story of how you or your family ended up in New York City?
So the long story, you want to know the long story?
Yeah.
So we were living in Poland, my family and everybody. But then Poland in the early 90s went through like a little bit of a, actually not a little bit, but like a transformation, right? Because there was communism, and then communism broke, and there was a transition into capitalism. And when that happened, a lot of people lost their jobs. So my father, he was working on a, I guess you can say it was like a train kind of unloading kind of station where he used to drive those big, I don't know what you call them, those big lifts, whatever, that like, you know, and he used to unload coal from the wagons that came in from like trains. Whatever, long story short, he lost his job when that period happened, when the transition happened. And like I said, a lot of people lost their job. I think the unemployment rate was like close to like 30%, if not more. So, you know, with no job, no income, something had to happen, right? So my mom, she knew a friend that was living in United States, and she reached out to her, and that friend gave her like an invite, you know, like saying that, hey, do you want to come, whatever. And like, if she does, that's how people kind of migrate, you know, like. So she's like, yeah, and she came in. She was supposed to stay for 6 months, but you know, since that was our only income, then you know, she stayed longer. She stayed for 3 years, and after 3 years, she applied for this lottery. That's immigration lottery type of thing that they were offering back in the 90s. And she won that, and what that lottery was, it basically was a program for like immigrants that were separated from their family, which my mom was, right, because she was the only one here, and it gave those immigrants a chance of like bringing that whole family over here and legally and everything. So she did. After 3 years, she came back, and she came back for all of us, and we all got our passports, we all got our green cards and all that stuff, and we came here. And that was the, you know, that's how we ended up in New York City.
So I'm going to ask you a couple questions about COVID-19 and the whole pandemic that's happening right now. So how are you coping with the pandemic?
I guess I'm coping pretty good. You know, I'm working from home. Before the pandemic, I had a long way to travel to my work. So that actually worked out in my favor that now I don't have to travel as much, don't have to waste as much time as I did before. So I would say that, yeah, I'm coping pretty good.
All right. What was your initial response to COVID and how it changed over time?
So my initial response to COVID, I was kind of happy. And the reason why I was happy is because of the chance that it gave me to work from home, right? I mean, you know, that was, I would say that was my like initial response. You know, I mean, I know it's kind of maybe messed up to say because, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, people are dying and people are getting sick and all that stuff. But fortunately for me, you know, I wasn't sick. Nobody in my family was sick. So again, it was just that, I guess it was a little bit selfish, but that like, you know, traveling every day, two hours back, 2 hours front, you know, and then you didn't have to, then, you know, I was like, yes, you know. So from that point of view, if you look at it from that point of view, that was my initial response, like, oh, okay, great, now I can work from home. It was, you know. And how did it change later on? You know, later on when the lockdowns and all that stuff, you know, especially now after like a year, it's like, oh man, you know, I mean, you miss that. You miss, you know, your coworkers. So now I'm a little bit like, oh man, you know, I wish maybe all this pandemic would go away and everybody would be, you know, back to normal and stuff like that.
So other than like your work environment and all that, how has coronavirus changed your life?
So again, it's more working from home, you know. I mean, that's, you know, it's funny because, I mean, I've been saying this, that like, you know, the technology existed, you know, all this technology that we use now, you know, I mean, Zoom, before the pandemic, if you ask somebody what Zoom was, I mean, 90% of people would say, what the hell is Zoom? Now everybody uses it. But Zoom existed before the pandemic, and so did, you know, Google Hangouts or any other, you know, one of those technologies. They all existed, right? People just didn't use them. So I think that's the biggest change, right? Is like that remote, everything's remote, everything, you know, and using that technology that we didn't use before. I think that's the biggest change. Not even in my life, I think in everybody's life.
So how are you coping financially because of the pandemic?
So I was very fortunate because I have a pretty good job, and it's a union job. So it, you know, and not only that, but again, I was very fortunate that I can work from remotely. I can work anywhere in the world. You know, all I really need is a laptop and an internet connection. As long as I have that, it doesn't matter where I am. You know, there's people that lost their jobs, you know, because, again, you know, because either like restaurants, right? Like if you're a waiter, you know, probably lost your job, you know? So financially I've been pretty much the same. Actually not even the same, in ways even more, because they actually gave us overtime. First time in 5 years that I'm at my job, this is the first time that I was actually able to work overtime, just because of the amount of work that was required because of COVID-19, you know. So financially, I actually made more money last year than any other year. So, and that's probably, and you know, it's like some people lose everything, other people gain, you know, so it's, you know.
What was it like to be home so often?
It's, I mean, so again, like at first it was great, right? Because you know, again, you're home and like you can kind of make up your own schedule too. You know, it's like, you know, if you kind of feel like, hey, I don't feel like getting up in the morning, like at the hour that you had to, you could push a little bit back and then work later on at night or whatever. So it gives you a little bit more freedom to like you know, to like make your schedule more according to your preferences, but at the same time, it's like sometimes I don't even know when I end. It's like I just work all day, you know. So like when you're in office, you kind of have that 9 to 5, and 5 comes and you're like, okay, well, time to go home. So it's like work ends, but now it's like some days I just feel like it just doesn't end. It's just like, it's a, you know, I've worked all day, all night, and then I get up and work all day, all night, and it's like never ending, like kind of, you know.
How has that affected you socially, mentally, and emotionally?
I don't know. I think it's the same, because I'm not really like a social person where I go and I talk to everybody all the time. I mean, you know, I like to talk to, but I never like reach out to people every day and on a phone or something like that. And I wasn't like that before, and I'm not really like that now. So I think it's pretty much the, you know, the way it's been before the pandemic, it's kind of the same now, really.
So how did the pandemic impact your family?
I guess we're together more, right? Like, I mean, it seems like we're the same as before, right? I mean, I don't see any.
Yeah, because just a little more bored. Are people in your household working?
Yeah. I mean, like, so mom, she's a housekeeper, so now she's working. Like, at the beginning, you know, a lot of people told her to stay home, so she wasn't. So there was a period of time when she wasn't working. Again, you, from what I remember, you've worked through those, right? I mean, you just had to probably, like, wear a mask or something or whatever.
I still do.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so, you know, again, mom just had to, you know, take a break a little bit at the beginning. But, you know, and me, you know, like I said, fortunately, my job, I can work from home, so, you know.
So when I started working at the grocery store through, like, the whole, like, start of the pandemic, was it, like, scary for you because I was coming in and out of the house, or was it, like, fine?
No, it was a little scary, yeah, and I was talking to mom about it. I was like, oh, you know, like, not even that you were gonna get us sick, but, you know, you yourself getting sick, you know?
So what's been the hardest part of this pandemic for you?
I'm probably just missing coworkers, I think, you know? Like, you know, again, I'm not complaining too much, because I like working from home. But I, you know, there was this, you know, you do miss people, you know, like the interaction with people. And, you know, when you were back in office, you know, you always you said what's up to this person or that person, and you saw them, you know, face to face, and maybe you went to lunch and stuff. You know, it was, you missed that, you know. I think that's like, you know, being with people, I think people are like social creatures, you know. Even if you don't consider yourself social, you're still a social creature. And, you know, so, you know, missing that interaction, I think that's the biggest, you know, thing that I miss.
How do you think the government handled the COVID crisis?
Well, I think New York State did a pretty good job. Especially, like, I remember Cuomo, he was holding those hearings or whatever you call them, like, every morning he would, you know, and just the way he sounded, you know, it seemed like he had it not under control, but it sounded like he had a plan, sounded like, you know, like, reassuring, you know, like, hey, you know, yes, this is going on, and he sounded honest, you know, like, just, you know, if he didn't know something, he said he didn't know, I have no idea, you know, so I remember I enjoyed, like, hearing him on TV every morning, you know, like, just giving, like, these answers, you know, and Trump was the other way. It's like, well, I don't know, well, another thing is that I'm biased, so that's another thing, you know, even if he was saying the truth, I just never trusted the guy. But he really messed up, actually, because just the way he, again, like, not telling people not to wear masks. I mean, come on, man, like, you know, it was just stupidity. So, like, you know, like, I think from, like, New York, like, New York State, I think, did a pretty good job. In New York City, I don't know, I haven't really been following, like, what, like, on the city level they did. But again, like the federal government, I think just totally botched it. I mean, you know, like he was just sending all these weird mixed messages. You know, the way he shut down travel, he's like, he was saying, I remember he was telling people, oh, you know, this is not a big deal. The coronavirus is not a big deal. By the way, I'm shutting down travel from China. Okay, if it's not a big deal, then why are you shutting down China? Are you racist? Or is this race? You know, I don't know. So he was giving like these mixed messages, like, so that, you know, it depends how you look at it. You know, I think some states probably did okay. Nationally, we did horribly. As a world, we did horribly, you know, like, I mean, it just spread all over the world without, you know, so yeah, I think there's probably some good examples here and there of government response, but overall, it wasn't good.
So do you think you can be doing anything to prevent COVID from spreading?
Oh, of course. I mean, one thing we didn't do is, like, we didn't really isolate. You know, it's like we went to my brother's, right, whatever. And I remember at that, they were planning a New Year's Eve party, you know, and I was like, they asked me, where am I going to go to? I'm like, I'm going to stay home. And everybody was, like, upset. Oh, why are you going to stay home? And we didn't stay home. We went for that New Year's party, you know. So it's like, you know, like, I feel that we didn't really take this seriously at all. You know, we did take it seriously at the beginning, you know, where we stayed home during that lockdown, you know, we did. But after that, you know, for the 2-3 months, after that, it was just like, okay, let's just, you know.
When things started to reopen, was that when you started to, like, feel a little bit less serious about everything?
Yeah, exactly. When things reopened, that's when, you know, and it wasn't even me, it was everybody. And like, and the funny thing is, if you did do it, like, people made you feel like crap. You know, I remember my soccer team, you know, they shut down during the summer, but then they started playing again. And I remember in like December, you know, that's when that big spike happened, you know. So I was like, well, look, you know, I told the coach, I was like, look, I'm gonna, like, sit out, you know, because I was like, I'm gonna sit out until this thing comes down. And 2 weeks later, he calls me like, oh, stop hiding, come on, you gotta come play, you know. So it's like, and he called me something like, oh, stop hiding, so like you're a coward, you know. So it's just like people make you feel like if you do the right thing, people make you feel like crap, you know, for doing the right thing. Same thing with, like, that New Year's party. It's like, I said, like, no, I'm not gonna, you know, and then, oh, come on, like you're doing something wrong, you know. So it was hard to do the right thing.
How would you grade the job the government did in rolling out the vaccine?
I think they did a really good job, actually. I took the vaccine last week, and, you know, it was really quick, actually. You know, like, you make an appointment, you show up at the appointment, there was a line. It took maybe 10 minutes, not even to get in, and then you know, there's another line, but it kind of goes quickly. And then, you know, there's a bunch of soldiers, but there's a soldier there, and he goes, hey, he points to there's a bunch of desks, and he just points to a desk. You're like, okay, that one's free. You go there, you know, they just check your ID, check and make sure everything's cool, and then just tell you which arm you want, this, and you know, next thing you know, it's like, oh, okay, you know, because I'm all nervous about the needles, and next thing you know, it's like a little prick. You're like, oh, well, are you going to do it? And like, well, no, it's done already. Oh, okay, go. And that's it. So they did a really good job with the vaccine.
They let you choose the arm?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, right or left.
Oh, wow. Okay. Why did you decide to take the vaccine?
Why did I decide to take the vaccine?
Mm-hmm.
A couple of reasons. Well, you know, I feel like, so from reading what the virus is or whatever, the virus is not going to go away unless around 70% of people get the virus. Well, I mean, get the virus. So get the antibodies, right? And the way you get the antibodies is two way. You either take the vaccine and you get the antibodies, or you get the virus. So if you choose not to take the vaccine, then you're gonna get COVID. So that's up to you, which way you're gonna get which way you wanna get the antibodies. It's far more likely that you'll die from COVID than getting the vaccine. So it just makes a lot more sense to take the vaccine. So, you know, that's how I looked at it. It's like, well, you know, sooner or later I'm gonna get it. So, and from what I know, it's you know, it's a lot safer through the vaccination. So I did it that way. Another reason was that I really wanted my mom to get vaccinated because she's 70 and she's got a lot greater chance of dying than I do. So that was a way of like, okay, and she's afraid of getting vaccinated. So that was a way of like, hey, mom, I took the vaccine. You can take it too, you know. So that was another reason that I took the vaccine.
So how has your family or peers reacted to the vaccine?
So your mom, she's still afraid. She's still saying that, oh, my God, you know, whatever. She's, you know, so doesn't look like she's going to take it. My mom was kind of the same way, but, you know, she was like, oh, I never got vaccinated. Oh, I'm not going to get vaccinated. But you know, like, but her sister took it in Poland. I'm sure that she was like, hey, you know, you got to just take it. Don't, you know, and they talk, they're very close. So I'm sure that she had a, you know, good argument. You had a positive reaction. You were like, yes, that you're probably gonna get vaccinated,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, an appointment.
So that, you know, so, I mean, that's, you know, other than that, I haven't really heard anybody else talking about it. My brother took the vaccine, Victor, you know. It seems like the people on the left spectrum of the, they are more willing.
So how are you feeling about the world reopening?
I don't really have strong feeling about the world reopening. I mean, tell the truth, I wish it really didn't reopen in some ways, because one good thing that came out of this pandemic is that CO2 emissions went down. It was the first time that they actually went down. And if we reopen the world, that means all that carbon is gonna go back. So in one way, I wish that like people would understand that, like, look, you know, we don't have to do this way, you know, like we don't have to reopen. You know, like we could find ways, you know. I mean, I understand that, like, again, like think about restaurants, you know, like you know, people need a job. They have to have a job, and that's what's wrong with our society, is that like you have to have a job, you know. And so when they're talking about world reopening, it's like, okay, well, that waiter has to go back, but does he have to go back, you know? I mean, can we find a way for that person to live without have to go back, you know? So in one way, I think that I wish that we weren't really reopening. I wish that we were talking about like, hey, this was an opportunity, you know, because again, this pandemic will go away. It will go away. We'll go get through it. But climate change is not going to go away, and it's going to hit us, and there's going to be millions of people dead. So, you know, that pandemic gave us like a way forward, you know, saying like, look, you know, here you go. Like you said that this was impossible to do, you know, to put emissions down. It's impossible. Yet somehow we did it, right? Pandemic hit, you know, we stopped flying, right? We stopped taking a vacation. We stopped flying. We stopped traveling. We stopped all that stuff, right? So it gave us an opportunity to fight global warming. And now everybody's, hey, yeah, let's go back. Let's go back to that stuff. In my opinion, not so fast. We should learn from that.
So what's the first thing you're going to do when you have your freedom from the pandemic?
I'm going to invite a couple of my friends to have a beer at a brewery.
How do you think the world will be changed when we come out of the pandemic?
Yeah, so, you know, I've talked about this already, but, you know, that it's definitely the remote work. The remote work, again, all that technology that we didn't use, you know, that was there, and it was just like, you know, like even my company, you know, before the pandemic, you know, we had that discussion where like, oh, you know, because we're all developers, web developers, and, you know, so doing that remotely is that commonplace. And we always heard other people doing it. We always heard, oh, well, you know, this part of the government, like, oh, he works for FDNY, and there, you know, and they get to work from home, you know, and why can't we? And all we heard from our superiors, from our managers, was like, well, the policy is that you can work only one day per week from home, you know. So we all were coming to work. We all were working, you know, at the office. Meanwhile, the technology was there. There was everything was there, you know, but nobody, you know, nobody was using it. I think that's the biggest thing that the pandemic changed is like, it made that, like, you know, that part, that like remote learning and remote work is what I think is going to be the biggest change. And like I said previously, like my biggest, like what I wish the biggest change would be is that, you know, people realizing that, like, hey, you know, the environment, the environmental impact of it, you know, that, like, it showed us a lot of good. That, like, you know, we can stop traveling, you know. We don't have to take vacations in Mexico or Florida like we're going now. Or, you know, which all it does is put carbon back in the atmosphere, you know.
I mean, but to be fair, you know, people want to have fun.
Of course people want to have fun, but, you know, you also don't want millions of people dying, right? And you know, even now, even if you stop it now, they will die because of it. And so, again, it's like, and that's not going to be the biggest impact. The biggest impact, in my opinion, is, again, us just working from home, like millions of people working from home, not traveling anymore.
All right, so I think we're done talking about COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to talk about the Black Lives Matter protests. So my first question is, why didn't you attend any of the protests?
You know, to me, like, income inequality, housing, healthcare. You know, I got involved in some healthcare stuff. You know, I was, you know, like things that was to me more important. So, like, you know, like politically or whatever, that's the thing that I chose. So that's why I never went to like Black Lives Matter protest.
Do you remember where you were and what you thought when you first heard about the murder of George Floyd?
I think I was at home. I think everybody was at home, right?
That yeah, that's true.
I think first time, I think it was probably with Eric, with Claudia's Eric. I think that we were discussing it. I think he came over. That's from what I remember. Like.
And what did you guys discuss?
Just the protest, and, you know, I mean, he was like concerned, oh, you know, they're burning stuff down, you know. And then, you know, I was like, look, I, you know, I wouldn't want things to burn down, but on the other hand, it's like, you know, I've been to plenty of peaceful protests, and sometimes those peaceful protests, tell you the truth, they just feel like nobody's paying attention. So that's why I wasn't really, you know, like, his point was like, oh man, they're burning stuff down. I was like, well, you know, I don't know. You know, it's like all these cops, you know, you're hearing this stuff over and over and over again. It's like, well, you know, somebody's got to pay some attention, you know?
So what are some of the reasons that you think protesting Black Americans and their non-Black allies are angry about conditions in the United States?
I mean, it's about racism, right? Like, I mean, and as far as I know, it's like, again, you just hearing all these, you know, over and over again. It's like, you know, a Black guy gets shot down somewhere or whatever, and the police officer just, you know, well, maybe they sometimes they even don't fire him, you know? It's like, and it's like, and it's the same song and dance over and over again, you know? So I think that's what they're mad about. It's like, well, you know what? Come on, you know, enough is enough. It's like, when are you gonna, you know, like, when are you gonna start policing? You know, I mean, like, first of all, I don't even know why. It's a hard job, like, being a, I don't know, who the hell wants to be a police officer, but I don't know, it just feels like, I think it's like police officers kind of feel a little bit of entitlement, you know, or something, I don't know. And I think, like, your job is to, I mean, your job is to keep people safe. That's your job, keep people safe. That doesn't mean that you take a gun and you shoot somebody, you know. I mean, that's the, I mean, who the hell even takes out their gun, really, you know? And it seems like, and that's why I think people are so pissed off, is just because that, like, you just hear this over and over again, like, shot, you know, and you know, and drawing their weapon and all that stuff. Like, hey, calm the hell down, man. You know, like, learn how to talk to people without getting angry, without whatever, you know? So I think that's what people are pissed about, is like, these police officers just being too policey, I don't know, you know.
So do you believe that there are issues with the criminal justice system in the United States that have helped make these protesters more upset?
Yeah, you know, like, exactly what I said. It's like, I think it's like, I think it's people just, police officers just aren't trained the right way. They're trained, and, well, you know, and I'm not, you know, I don't really know, to tell the truth, because I've never been to, like, a thing, but I just from the way that I've seen police, you know, and I interacted with police, I think the way they're trained is just, like, so unhuman-like, you know, like, be a human being, you know, like, I think they're thought that, like, okay, you know what, this is a job in some way, and you're, like, just so disconnected, like, you're a police officer, this is a civilian, and there's a certain way that you act or whatever, you know, and it's, like, I don't look at a police officer as another, like you, you know, but I should be, you know, in my opinion, I should be looking at a police officer just the way I look at any other civilian, you know. But because the way they act, and because they, you know, because they carry that gun, it's different, you know, and, like, and I you know, and that's the training of, you know, that's the system, that's the justice system that trains them in that way, and you know, it fuels those protests, I think, even more, especially when they see those police officers, you know, in those protests, you know, and they're all in their gear, and all they're there, you know, like, hey, you know what I mean? So I don't know, I just think that they should train police officers to be, you know, don't think that you're this special kind of something, and I hope that they don't, you know, I hope I'm wrong about it, because I, again, like, that's just my perception of, like, looking at police officers, and I hope that they don't teach them that stuff, like, hey, that you're this special whoever that you want to be.
Why do you think New York City became the epicenter for the protests?
Well, you know, I mean, New York City is a big city, and I mean, it's an epicenter for everything. It's not even the protests, you know, I mean, like, well, not everything, but a lot of stuff, you know. It's one of the world capitals, you know, so a lot of stuff happens here. It's very diverse. It's a very, very diverse city. And like I said, it's just a lot of people. So I think it's like, you know, like that mixture of like just being very diverse. There's a big black community. It gets a lot of world attention. So it's very, I think it's easy for things to you know, it's easy to like breed a lot of things. So it's not a surprise that it became the epicenter. You know, and anywhere that you have a lot of people, you know, with a lot of ideas and a lot of, you know, just becomes an epicenter, you know. So it's the same thing here. It's like, you know.
So how have the uprisings across the country shifted how you think about your ethnic identity and your place in U.S. society?
I don't know. I think it made me more aware of racism, I think. Maybe a little bit.
How have the past few months changed how you think about police and racism in the US?
Police officers are just not as it just made me realize that they're not as like part of the society. Well, not, I don't want to say part of society, but like they're not equal, right? Like you and I, they're different. They're like special, you know. Although I always thought they were, but I guess what my perception, the way it changed, is like, well, why? I guess it just started. I started questioning that, like why are they like, or even should they be that way, or should they be more like you and me? You know, like yes, you're a cop, but when I see you, why do I feel differently? Why, you know, like why am I feeling that like you're kind of like this special somebody? Why can't I feel that you're more like, hey, you're just another person, you know? Like that's, so it started to like I guess I didn't question that before, and now I'm like, you know what, maybe that's how it should be, you know?
Why do you think there is so much backlash to Black Lives Matter?
It's two things. It's like it's the right wing echo chamber, right? So if you watch the Fox News and you watch the Carson guy, whatever, you know, the way they portray him is very like, oh my God, they're destroying this country. These are thugs. These are whatever, you know. And like, so then you hear you hear all those supporters, all those, you know, right wingers say, oh my God, these are terrorists. And then you have the biggest one of them all, Trump, you know, saying that this is enemy of the people. You know? So I think that's why it's like, I think that's why it's like just, you know, just the way they're portrayed in the media.
How would you like to see this movement resolved?
So it seems like it's about policing, right? And I don't know, like, yeah, how do you make people not racist? You know, I mean, it's a good question. I don't know. Like, I wish in some way they, you know, they would make people less racist, but I don't know how. That's probably beyond this movement. I don't know if you could do that, but like, so I guess one thing is if that policing at least would change, you know, because again, it's just over and over that circle of like, okay, well, police, you know, a black man shot and a police officer getting off scot-free. Like if at least that circle got broken, maybe that would be some sort of an achievement, you know. And I don't know how far that would go of like eliminate racism, but at least that, I think that would be nice.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about the events that occurred in the beginning of 2021. Mm-hmm. So what was going through your mind when you first heard the U.S. Capitol was invaded?
Oh, I couldn't believe it.
Really?
I couldn't believe it. I remember... I I always talk with Dominic, you know, like, or we used to, like, you know, during his presidency and all, or even afterwards, you know.
Dominic is your Republican friend.
Yeah,
you're a Democrat.
Exactly, my Republican Trump supporter. And that day, you know, I checked my phone, and it's like, there's riots in the Capitol, and I'm like, and I was just in this disbelief, because, like, I know that Trump was saying that everything was, that the election was stolen, and election was not true, but in my mind, it was like, I was always thinking, like, okay, but who the hell believes that stuff? Like, I was, no way people believe that stuff. And then when I heard that, like, you know, because that was the day when they, and I didn't even know that there was gonna, I mean, I knew there was gonna be some protest, and I was like, okay, I know that they're gonna be protesting. You know, I was protesting Trump, so I was like, okay, they gonna protest Biden. I knew that. But, like, when they were certifying the election, meaning that, okay, the election is certified, and they went to stop it, I was like, how could people believe that? How could, you know, that's what it was, like, I couldn't believe that. When, you know, that was my reaction.
So what do you think led these people to attempt to violently overthrow the government?
Well, Trump, I mean, who else? If, you know, I mean, if he wasn't the person that he was, and, you know, I mean, if he was a normal Democratic, you know, he's anti-democratic, he's not a Democratic, this is not a person that believes in the or believes he has no clue what even democracy is, and that's why he did what he did, because he has no clue of what democracy is. Democracy needs people to believe in it, and he doesn't believe in it. He doesn't know what it is, you know. And you've lost. You have to say, okay, you know what? Fine, you know what? Like, I had my chance at rule. I had 4 years. I did whatever I did. You know, okay, fine, and I lost. People chose the other guy. All right, thank you very much, you know. And you go, you shake the other guy's hand, and you say, you know, you let the country go. But if you don't do that, if you don't do that, and you say, no, I, you know, I'm the guy, whatever, then that's what happens. People, and I had no clue that people, but people believe. As you can see, people believe you, you know. And they believed him, and they went, and, you know, he's the major, him and all those enablers, all those people that said, hey, you know, it's not a big deal, you know, the Mitch McConnells, all those guys, you know, that enabled that stuff. Instead of, you know, he's saying that it's fraudulent, not one of those guys came up and said, hey, no, what the hell are you doing? They all supported him. But him and all those enablers, they should be all, I don't know how they keep their jobs. I got no idea.
Were you surprised with how the Trump supporters were treated by the police?
No, because, again, you know, they were the pro Blue Lives Matter people, you know, and so, you know, I think the police was like, oh, you know, they're not gonna do anything, you know, like, so I wasn't surprised.
So what do you think about former President Trump's reaction to the invasion?
Oh, God, man. It's the same reaction that he has with everything. It's like, guy is just, he's just unbelievable, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I don't even remember what he's like. What, that wasn't a big deal, right? Oh, it was great, you know? What did he do? He was watching it, right? He was watching it, enjoying it. Again, not a surprise, you know. I mean, this is really what he wanted. But again, it's just like all this stuff that he does as president is just shocking, really. You know, and it's even more shocking that, like, people actually stand for this. They take it, you know. Like, instead of, I mean, you know, there should be riots in the streets after that stuff. You know, I mean, like. How was he not impeached? How is this possible? It's unbelievable.
Have you had any discussions with family members about the invasion of the Capitol? If so, what were their reactions?
I discussed stuff with your mom. But you know, I mean, where are we at? So her reaction was, you know, I guess, actually, I don't know. I guess she wasn't surprised, you know, just like.
So how has the invasion of the U.S. Capitol by Trump supporters changed the way you view the Republican Party?
So the invasion and the way it changed the way I look at the Republican Party is I look at them as communists. And the word and not in a communist way that like, you know, if you read about communism, whatever, and you know what communism is, then that's not what they are. But the way that the Republican Party uses it. So if you talk to a Trump supporter and he calls you communist, like that's what they are, right? Because from a Trump supporter, if he calls you communist, to him you're this guy that believes in this one leader, right? Like that's what word communist means to them. You believe this one leader, all powerful, and that leader stays in power all the time, and that's communism to them, right? So that's what they are. They are those communists. They believe in that one leader, and that one leader stays no matter what, and no matter what that leader says is true. You know, that leader could lose an election, but if that leader says it's not true, then that's what they believe. So since the invasion, I call Republicans communists, because that's what they are. They're communists.
So what do you think about the impeachment trial of former President Trump?
I think it's a sham. I think it's a disgrace. It's a big, huge disgrace that he has not been impeached. It's a disgrace. It's like, I mean, if you don't get impeached for that, what can you get impeached for? Tell me. What can you get? If you cannot impeach a president, you live in a democratic country. This is a democracy. This is supposedly the biggest and greatest democracy in the world, right? If the greatest democracy in the world, and a guy says that, okay, I'm not leaving, and you're not gonna impeach him for that, what can you impeach a guy for? Okay, so it's a complete and utter sham. He should have been impeached. The day that the invasion happened, next day he should have been impeached with no questions asked of anybody. Impeached. I don't care if you're a Republican, whatever. Impeached, 100%. No questions asked. So I don't know what happened. I don't know how the greatest democracy in the world. I don't know how they didn't impeach a guy that said I'm not leaving after you know I lost the election, but I'm not leaving. So you know, keep doing it. Greatest democracy in the world.
If Trump was a woman or a non-white person, how would the impeachment trial have been different? Or the same?
He would have been impeached the next day, 100%. 100%, no questions asked, no nothing. The way it's supposed to be. That would have been the difference. If this was Barack Obama that did this, you kidding me? You kidding me? What kind of question is this?
All right, well, that's it.
Okay.
That's all the questions. I'm glad it ended off with the strong note. Thank you so much for talking to me about, you know, this new world we live in, about, you know, COVID, BLM, and the whole crazy capital thingy. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome.